we heard one of those readings that we often hear, a very long reading. It opens the Bible, it opens the scriptures, and this reading is not about science. It's actually about art. It's about a vision. Ancient peoples, they didn't know very much about the science of the world, but they had a vision about it. And the vision of this opening chapter is a very radical vision, very radical. In the ancient world, most religions believed in a multiplicity of gods. Why? You know, whether it was the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, the harvests, the oceans, the rivers, different creatures, gods, multiple gods. You prayed to them for protection, for prosperity, for success. You prayed to them when you were afraid. Why? Because fear governed the world. You were afraid of what could happen. You saw it happen elsewhere, it could happen to you. Fear, anxiety. The world was a place of conflicting forces. The world was a place of chaos. And into this world, this vision of one creator, a creator God who calls, who speaks it into being, who speaks a world of order in the midst of chaos, ordering creation, who speaks harmony, harmony in a world of conflicting forces, order and harmony. And as we read along, actually, in terms of the evolutionary cycle, Genesis 1 isn't bad. Human beings are late in the game, and we're often late in the game in many ways. And part of it is how much we are disconnected from this originating vision. What's happened? Some will say it's science and technology, but behind the science and technology is modernity. And modernity is a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking about ourselves. Modern philosophers call it a buffered self. It means that, or a dualism, it means there's me in myself, and then there's everything else. Me versus everything else. That includes creation, that includes other peoples and cultures and so on. And so it creates a scenario where as I'm creative about things I do with my science and technology, I don't think about its impact on anything or anyone around me. And so we've come to the situation we're in. So this ordering and this harmonizing that God has called his human creatures to share in with God has become something else. And so there's two words that have become as distorted as this vision has become for us. The two words that are used in our reading, if you notice them, was subdue and dominion. This is part of what humans are invited to do as co-partners with God, subdue and dominion. Unfortunately, subdue, when subduing and dominion is done in the context of a creator God to whom we are responsible, before whom we are accountable, it's a very different thing. It's about an ordering, it's about a harmony, it's about being agents of bringing the world together. But it becomes without God. Once we get rid of God and we become our own gods, subduing becomes conquering. It becomes colonializing. It becomes, think about what's happened in this world, not only to creation, but to other peoples. Subduing becomes conquering, dominion becomes domination, oppression, imposing our way on others. That's what you do when you have power, that's what you do when you have control. You control things, and this is what's become. But this vision is very different, and in order to get to the heart of it, to the real ground of it, we had, as you will have for sure noticed, the reading, we had a response by the choir. Why? Because those accents are important at every stage of creation. Creation was good, and at the end, God beholds it, and it is very good, exceedingly good. Now, the translation of the word good, the ancient Hebrew word for it is tov, and in modern Hebrew, tov is good. It's like a practical good, you know, saying, how are you? I'm tov, I'm good, I'm not bad, you know. But actually, in the ancient language, the earliest translations of the Hebrew of Genesis 1 was actually in Greek, hundreds of years before Christ. Why Greek? Because most Hebrews, when they were composing these scriptures, were living outside of Israel. It was time of exile. That's when a lot of the scriptures were composed. So when they translated this word tav, they used a word. They had several options. One option would have been to simply translate good tav as good agathos. And agathos is actually more of a moral good. It's good versus evil, good versus bad. You know, it's about right versus wrong. It's about justice. That's what you say agathos for. But the word that they chose to translate it is, to get to the essence of it, is the word kalon. And kalon is the word for beauty. So if we had to redo this reading again, I mean, we followed what's being translated. If we replace the word good with beauty, how does that change the feel and the sound of this reading? You know, God saw everything God had made, and behold, it was beautiful. You know, beauty is one of those things that, you know, takes us out of ourselves. You know, we behold a beautiful piece of art, and there's some good art, by the way, outside, so you can have a look afterwards. Art, music, you know, nature. Those moments when we are taken out of ourselves, you know, the word is ecstasy, ecstasis. It means you're taken out of yourself. And beauty, you know, when you say, what's the purpose of beauty? Well, the purpose is delight. So in fact, when you have to think about what's going on here, we're thinking about God sort of creating and then being sort of taken aback by how beautiful it all is, and God delighting in it all. You know, imagine if this was infused into us as a vision for how to properly relate to everything, all of creation. That in fact, our purpose, our governing task, if we are to follow this Creator God, is to take the time to behold creation and to experience its beauty. Now, if we did that, how would that change the way we thought of everything we did, everything we created, whether it's our science or technology or everything else? How would we think about it? If we know that everything around us, everything that is a creation, is beautiful, and our highest delight, our ecstasy, is to actually take the time to experience such beauty. And if we're not finding our true inner abundance. And so, the reading doesn't end, ends, and it's no accident, with the Sabbath, because what God does, you know, taking a moment after each cycle of creation is not enough. God gives it a whole day, Sabbath. I mean, Sabbath is really taking the time. Taking the time to worship the Creator, to get connected again, and taking the time then to be equipped, to get grounded, so that we can go out into the world and behold its beauty. And there's something else here. You know, it's not just about us, it's about everyone else. How are we going to inspire this beholding of beauty, not just for ourselves in our own practice, but when we go out to others, our neighbors, our friends, our family, our world, our politicians, in terms of how we vote, that this creation is beautiful, and unless we are experiencing its beauty and treasuring it, cherishing it, when something is beautiful, you care for it in a very special way. When we're not doing this, we are totally disconnected, not only from God, not only disconnected from the earth, but we're really disconnected from ourselves. May God inspire us as we go out so that we behold creation as beautiful. Amen.